Welcome to Land Academy. This is the Cash Flow from Land Show, where we show you how to buy unwanted vacant land and sell it for more on the internet. I'm Steve Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We are your hosts. With over 15,000 completed transactions, we are the experts in this niche land flipping business.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com. All right, let's get this show started.
Mike Sherwood is a real estate investor, broker, property manager. He's been involved in real estate since 2007, buying his first duplex at 22. He currently owns 45 units and manages over 175 units, primarily focused on multifamily homes in Buffalo. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. I've got Jill on the line. I hope you can hear her okay.
Yeah, I can hear her. She's a little soft-spoken, but I can hear her.
that'll change in a minute, trust me.
I was waiting for that. Do you like Mike or Michael?
It doesn't matter. The only time I'm usually called Michael is when I'm getting yelled at by my wife.
Okay, I will call you Mike.
Did you get yelled at for doing a podcast at 7 o'clock on Tuesday?
Well, my wife has become very understanding about real estate and just, you know, having a business and then working. So she's really kind of cool about it. When we first started dating, she's like, oh, it's kind of cool, but it takes up a lot of time, and she didn't like it, but she kind of understands it now.
That's good.
We always end up talking about people's spouses on these shows.
It's funny.
Well, I think the reason why that happens is because you kind of need to be on the same page, with a lot of this stuff. And if you're not, then you kind of run into issues. So, my wife understands that, you know, it's something that's for, you know, our long-term retirement. So she gets it.
Mm-hmm. You know, we have a pretty large member base now of people where we all together, we buy land and sell land and sell it on terms and generate a pretty good income stream. Huh. And one of our members recently said that his wife didn't buy into this. So he's one of our most successful members, by the way. His wife, when he just started, he said his wife was so skeptical that he had to do a real quick flip just for like $1,000, I think, or $700 or $800 he made on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
just to convince her that this really can work.
Mm-hmm. And then after that one, she's in. She's like, okay, we're good.
Hooked. Yeah, that's it. So it happens to all of us.
Yeah.
Like I always say, the worst thing that can happen if you walk into a casino is that you win in the first 3 minutes, you know, because then it's like, you're just prolonging the death.
Yeah, no, it's definitely the case. So, like I said, I'm very fortunate that she gets it. I mean, the only thing she doesn't like about it is we kind of sacrifice a little bit on the real estate stuff because it's more of a long-term strategy. And so she kind of looks at it and says, hey, when can I buy more purses? Hey, when can I buy this? Hey, when can I buy that? And I'm like, this is for our kids.
Yeah, that's great. No one can argue with that. This is for our kids.
That's yes. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't have any yet, but
I'm just going to say,
I know it's coming. It's definitely going to come sometime. Probably in the next year or so, I'd say. We're closing on a house, like an actual house to live in rather than investment.
I love it.
In December. So middle of December. So it's exciting, but I mean, I've done it many times, but I actually kind of got sick to my stomach when I signed the paperwork because I was like, this is the first house I'm going to buy that isn't making me money.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And it's not an asset.
Can we record all this? We got to back up and record all this, Stephen.
No, this is actually the real call now because Mike and I had the pre-call earlier.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
While you were selling stuff on the phone.
I was selling
stuff. Nice work, by the way.
Thank you very much.
In fact, if it's okay with you guys, I'm going to read the bio that I should have read right when I called everyone.
Okay, cool.
Michael Sherwood is a real estate investor, broker, property manager. He's been involved in real estate since 2007, buying his first duplex at 22. He currently owns 45 units and manages over 175 units, primarily focused on multifamily homes in the Buffalo, New York area. Mike was exposed to his grandparents' rental duplex of 25 years, and they frequently told him, "This is how you make money in your sleep." So, Mike, if that doesn't say at all about rental property, you know,
yes.
like if my grandmother can do it, that kind of thing.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. My grandparents got me started on this when I was young. They had a live-in tenant for over 20 years. Paid the same rent amount every month. Great guy, but that helped fund my college. That's what paid for my college.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That is a great story.
Awesome.
So I was, as I told you in the pre-call, I was excited to have you on the show today because you're in Buffalo, New York, or the Buffalo area, I should say. And
yep.
We have, you know, in the main education program that we expose our beginning investors to, I use upstate New York and Western New York as a great example to buy super, super inexpensive, unwanted, rural, vacant land. And, you know, I wanted to hear it from you firsthand. I mean, do you see really unbelievable land deals?
I've seen some. We're not involved in a bunch of land deals, but I mean, mineral rights and, you know, other things are kind of occurring in upstate New York. And so, you know, there's a lot of land and that's what people are buying it for. They're buying it and making money on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Buffalo area is definitely rebounding because people are starting to pick up land and snap up land because they're looking at it and they're saying, hey, the city of Buffalo is starting to revitalize. You got the Pagulas in there. You got, you know, a lot of people throwing around a lot of money and, you know, the real estate's really starting to rebound. I mean, this year and the last couple of years were the first years that we've had where real estate, investment real estate has gone, multiple bids or multiple offers above list price. That never happened.
Wow.
In 5 years. Never.
That hasn't happened in my lifetime there. I don't think. I mean, maybe when I was a little kid, but. And I'm way older than you.
Love it.
So what's your perfect acquisition? What do you really look for?
Well, I mean, I actually have a real estate partner as well. His name's Charles Cromwell. And he primarily is the day-to-day operations guy. And he does kind of looking at the numbers and stuff like that. But primarily what we focus on is trying to get as many doors under one roof. Because, you know, then, you know, our transaction costs tend to be a little bit lower because we're spreading them out over multiple units. We can negotiate, a little bit better favorable terms because it's, you know, commercial property. And, you know, there's a lot of investors out there who aren't as experienced in dealing in the, commercial realm.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So that's primarily where we try to focus. So we try to get like six and above, we have a couple 5 units. It's kind of tough. 1 to 4, it's kind of like, you know, run of the mill. Hey, it's what the market says that it's worth versus, you know, the commercial, it's kind of based on, you know, what you're getting in for the income. So, you know, we tend to focus on the bigger places.
Yeah. That's a whole different financing situation too, right? At 5+, it's commercial loan.
That's right. That's right. And a lot of people have a hard time with that because, they don't really know who to go to. You know, they don't know, you know, hey, will this bank do this or that person? And they really don't know. And then not only that, the terms tend to be different because, you know, those loans tend to reset, you know, the interest rates over time and they tend to have different terms. So, you know, inexperienced investors that I've kind of run into, they're like, hey, I want to do commercial real estate. And I kind of tell them, hey, why don't you focus on a duplex, live in duplex, get a live in duplex, find out if you want to be a landlord.
Yeah. You know, I mean, for the record, I think you're absolutely doing this right. I had many, many, many properties long before I ever bought my primary residence. And I felt the same way about signing those papers. I'm like, man, this is just, it's like, I don't know, financing a car. It's just something that's not right about it for some reason.
I was sweating when it happened.
All right, there's tons of guys out there doing this, trying to do what you're doing. What makes you successful?
So I would say, like, ideally what makes us, you know, makes our company, what's made me successful is that, you know, I am actually a software programmer. So I do, you know, I program computers and I do a lot of programming. Coming at it from like a, I guess, methodical, you know, programming world and then, you know, kind of using systems along with real estate, it's definitely made it much more streamlined. So, you know, I focus primarily on getting like call systems in place, getting, you know, property management software in place, getting Google Drive, Google Documents, collaboration tools, CRMs, you know. So the idea is that we have all these systems and we have ways to kind of link them up. And, you know, we still use the basic Excel spreadsheets as well, you know, back of the envelope when we have to kind of come up with a quick number. You know, I built dashboards and stuff like that, that kind of look at like the analytics of sales and stuff like that for real estate. So, I tend to, I guess, look at a little bit of everything and, you know, then I have a good partner. Honestly, that's also what's made me very successful is that, you know, he offsets the strengths that I have, with some of the strengths of his own. He's kind of like a chief operating officer. He keeps all the balls in the air at all times and everything running on all cylinders.
That's great. You know, one of the first things I've written several blogs centered around this topic. The worst mistake you can make on your first transaction is actually buying a piece of real estate. There's so many things that you have to do before that to get organized. I mean, I don't think it needs to take 3 years or anything like that, but I think you have to kind of, you really have to get your head straight and get a plan kind of laid out. And, you know, we preach sending out direct mail to try to get the best deals in acquisitions. And you just, I think you have to be looking at 20 or 30 properties that aren't even listed for sale before you start making decisions about the best ones to buy. So I think It sounds like your approach is similar.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. I think, and actually I think more than ever, I think direct mail, and that's something that we have had some experience with, but I think direct mail more than ever is more and more important because there's so much competition for deals that are on the ML, for example.
Yeah.
If it's on the ML, everybody can get it. Mm-hmm. You're not beating anybody to that deal.
Yeah.
The best deals are gone before they ever come on the market.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I wrote a similar blog on that exact topic. I said, if you're looking at buying a piece of property as an investment that's on the multiple listing, it's too late. Stop it. That's not how you do it.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So what are you working on right now? Anything good?
So we actually just rehabbed a four unit in Lackawanna, actually. Lackawanna is a suburb of Buffalo, and we have a couple of properties there. And what's actually kind of interesting about it is there was – one person that was living in there, all the other units were vacant. It just needed a lot of updates. You know, there's some, you know, mechanical issues as far as the plumbing and stuff like that. So it was kind of a gut job for all the other units. The one unit that actually was occupied by a hoarder. So that was interesting.
Oh wow. My goodness. Oh my gosh. It's like newspapers and, got it.
Lawn gnomes.
Wow. Anything they could find on the sidewalk.
Yes.
You know, I'm from Detroit, and we live in Scottsdale now, and I haven't heard anyone talk about a frozen pipe or any of those issues with real estate in years and decades. So, you know, my hat's off to you because you guys have to deal with that stuff all the time.
All the time. Yeah, we definitely deal with that a lot. So, but what's actually also, you know, super interesting about this deal is that we got into it really, really cheap. I mean, I want to say we bought a four unit around $50K.
Nice. Wow.
So That's our prices, Jill.
Yeah. We put about $20K into it and we refinanced it for about $120K.
Oh my gosh. So you walked out with some money.
Oh yeah.
That's
some
awesome.
Money and then some.
Wow, so that is your niche. That was my next question. Like, what's your niche?
Well, that's kind of been something we've been experimenting with. We've done a couple of destroyed rentals because kind of what we also do, and one of the drivers or the engines of our company is property management. So we manage for other investors. And so one of the things we're thinking about is, hey, why don't we buy a bunch of these destroyed homes, put a little fixin' in them, fix everything up, clean it up, and then you know, sell it with, you know, property management in place. Because then we know the property better than anybody, and that's a selling point.
Yeah, there's so many ways to go at making money in real estate. I love it. That's one I have not heard. Hey, tell me you saved the after you refied it, you went and spent the money on another deal, right? Not your primary residence. Okay.
Of course. Yeah, actually, Yeah, actually, what we've done is, you know, when rates have been so low, Charlie, my partner, he has an LMA. So essentially, it is a line of credit, and you know, it's, you know, 1 month LIBOR plus 400 basis points, so it's around 425. And so what we've been doing is basically we go out, we acquire real estate, do a deal, and then we pay it back. Yeah. You know, we just doing that to do different deals, and then. So our goal next year is to, and it's very aggressive. We want to buy four houses next year. That's our goal. It's very aggressive for us. We've been buying two a year.
You know, we're not in the same product type, you and I, but there's a lot of similarities. The reasons that we almost never have any competition, but in this few cases that we do, we're cash buyers. And, you know, having a line of credit is the same as having a cash buyer. You know, right. It takes all the stuff out of a closing and having to lenders to sign off and all of that.
Yep.
You know, yeah, and for you guys too, there's no inspection then if you don't want there to be, right?
Yeah, because actually, what we've already done is we've already done the inspection prior to putting in either an offer or, you know, getting it finally approved. We know what we're getting into. Either, you know, I've looked through it and, you know, I'm pretty handy. Charles not so much, but he's very good at other things. Or, you know, our general contractor has gone through the place. So we have an idea what we're getting into, you know, right out of the gate and where the pricing should be. So it's an advantage and we're ready to react. You know, I will say this though, there is a lot of cash that's flooding the market.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing a lot of deals that are going for money that's just stupid. I mean, just ridiculous. I look at it and I say, how are you making money on that?
That's how we got in this problem in the first place.
Yeah.
Because there's unscared money. That's what I call it.
Yeah. 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 No, that's definitely starting to happen. And I'm seeing that. So when we originally started acquiring property, we started at a time when nobody wanted it. So I always go with the idea of, you know, greed is good. And when everybody's afraid is when I want to buy. And when everybody's confident is when I want to like sell or not acquire, one or the other. I prefer not to sell, but you kind of want to go the opposite of the masses. That's
sure. Has there ever been any shortage of tenants ever?
No. We always find some tenant. You know, the only thing really what it is it's economics. It's, you know, pricing versus, you know, supply and demand. And, you know, if our unit or our investor is telling us, hey, I want your prices at 1200, and I say, hey, we can't get any more than 900, and they say, hey, I want 1200, I'm going to be like, I'm sorry, but, you know, you're going to get 900 or it's going to stay vacant. That's your call.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. We, all through the downturn, you know, the properties that we had, we sell a ton of properties on terms. So we'll buy a 40-acre property and then we'll sell it on terms for a few hundred dollars down and a couple hundred dollars a month for, I don't know, whatever, 9 or 10 years. Uh-huh. And there's no associated carrying costs with it at all, except property taxes. You know, we don't have to deal with renovations or anything like that. So if the person who purchases it, they just stick with it forever, or at some point they choose to no longer want to own the property, and that's all we have to deal with. So our niche is very lucky like that, I guess, Jill. I don't know if there's a better way to say it, but it's amazing to me the amount of money that comes in from properties that, you know, that we got great deals on that I think we created equity on when we purchased them.
For me, I think that we have more of an abundance. I mean, how do I say this? I never run out of deals. Is your acquisition plate like overflowing, Mike, and you just get to pick your favorites? Because that's how mine is, and it's awesome.
Yeah, that's kind of how that works. I mean, I will say this. There were some turning points as far as some major milestones that we noticed, and it kind of changed our strategy. Back in about 2012 was the first time we started losing out on some deals that, you know, we were aggressively pricing, and we were not lowballing, but, you know, we were being aggressive in our pricing, what we were offering people. And, you know, we started losing out, and we lost on one. And right then I looked at my partner and he looked at me and he's like, the market's starting to change. He's like, that's what's happening. And ever since then, we've always had deals. It's just that they haven't been as profitable as I'd like, but we're still making it work. And, you know, one of the other things we focus on is educating our investors on what we think are good deals, because some of the stuff they bring to us, I look at it and say, how are you going to make money on that? Yeah. And they'll be like, how can I not make money on it? And I explain to them and they're like, oh, like, I've been doing this a while, guys.
That's funny. Let's sit down. Have you seen a spreadsheet before? Let's all look at this together, everyone.
Oh, yeah. We definitely have some of those. Yes. We definitely have some of those. And and that's my job. That's my job. I work to educate and to help. And a lot of people get a little confused about that because they say, hey, aren't you helping your competition? I'm like, no. There's a niche for everybody. And there's more than enough deals for everybody.
Everybody thinks it's really easy. They listen to this, a podcast like this or whatever, and they just think, you know, they see that you got a new car and they're like, oh, that's easy.
Yeah.
And it's not. There's a lot of stuff involved.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. It's not... It's there's a reason why we are all at the level that we are all at, the three of us. That and not everyone is there. It does take time and persistence, and it's crazy. The little Steve and I came up with a term. Someone taught us a couple of weeks ago. Those I don't remember who it was. Steven, the speed bump. You know, it depends on how you look at things too. You know, I'm sure you're the same way, Mike. You look at it like a speed bump. We're gonna get over it. And some people, it's a brick wall.
Oh, yeah, there's. I mean, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, we're actually dealing with one of those right now that I kind of look at and I say, hey, it's just a bump in the road, but we're growing, we're going through such like a growth phase right now with our company. I mean, when we, this year, I want to say this year alone, we have brought on like about 60 of those units just this year, maybe even more than that, 65 units. That's this awesome. Year. So it's a huge growth. Yeah. And it was primarily just myself and Charlie, and we had two other people kind of, you know, covering stuff during the day. Because actually, I don't know if you saw this or you, Charles and I both hold full time jobs.
Wow!
What?
Wow! Yes.
Holy
what,
moly!
So, what do you do during the daytime?
Well, I work. I actually work as a I work as a programmer. I do reporting and stuff like that. So during the day, I'm available for emergencies, but, you know, I've been, kind of following a lot of the stuff that Michael Gerber, kind of expounds out there as far as like the E-Myth, you know, building an operations manual, building a franchise, you know, business, building something where you can put anybody into it and they can run your business. Mm-hmm. So I can walk away. I mean, my wife is from China. And my business partner and I both went to China for a month. And he was in Taiwan for a month as well at a different time. And we were running our business from literally wherever we were. And, I mean, we were plugged in as much as we wanted or as little as we wanted. Just when you have a process and you work it, it works.
Yeah, we were in the exact same situation here. You know, if it weren't for Land Academy, which is our education company, the land company itself has one part-time employee, and you know, she's a whiz. Her name's Erin, and she's a whiz at and really kind of taking care of everything for us. So yeah, I agree, man. It's you got to put all the systems in place and just kind of manage it, get the reports and make sure everything's going okay.
Yep. Absolutely.
So everybody's wondering what it takes to get where you are, so tell us your story.
So I mean, like we kind of talked about before, you know, I started because of my grandparents kind of got me into this. And, you know, I kind of was thinking when I was 22, hey, I really want to buy a bunch of real estate. And my goal was really to buy 5 properties by the time I was 30. That was my goal that I set for myself. The other thing I wanted to do is I wanted to buy that live-in duplex. What I originally wanted to do is I wanted to buy a live-in duplex kind of every year, every other year, and keep rolling them over. That didn't quite work out as well as hoping it would work out, just because of, you know, my original loan was FHA. You had to be in there for so long. And, you know, and I decided it was better to take on a partner. So I met Charles and, you know, we basically hit it off, and I was actually working at a bank at that time, and I was primarily focused on, financial modeling. So like doing profitability modeling. So I showed him he's an engineer. I showed him my spreadsheet and I said, hey, this is what I'm looking to do. And I basically taught him the numbers. And now he's much better than I am at it just because engineers are just, they're interesting people. So
they really are. That's a nice way to say that.
Yeah. We have a few friends that, yeah.
So he's
not going to throw Gary really under the bus.
Yeah. He's really good at that. And he's very good at teaching and coaching. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we kind of hit it off and, you know, when we first started, literally, you know, every day we're talking real estate, every day we're talking real estate. The weekends we'd get together and we'd be talking real estate. And then we finally bought our first property together, which was a 3-unit in Tonawanda, which is a northern suburb of Buffalo. And our inspector actually told us, hey, you should stay away from this deal. And the reason why is because he was kind of concerned about, you know, some minor, I thought it was minor stuff. You know, some heating issues and stuff like that. We eventually went in there and fixed it all and got it all done. And, you know, our first deal was not as profitable as we were hoping together. But over time we got smarter and we started working a system, you know, as far as how we looked at deals and, you know, over time, what it became is it becomes a numbers game. That's yeah. really what it's become. Yep. It's a numbers game. I look at, I will look or I will filter out 100 properties. I will mm-hmm. get the 25. I will get the 5. I will get the 2. I will get the 1.
We do the
That's
same thing.
That's how it works. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got to be willing to work the system. And if you do work the system, you're going to be rewarded. So, I mean, that's kind of like, so if anybody's kind of thinking, hey, how do I get to where you're at? You know, I'm going to be honest. Charlie and I, the first couple of years when we were starting out, we worked all the time. And, you know, with our properties, we had to go there and do the work ourselves because we really couldn't afford to have, you know, somebody to do it. And then over time, we realized, well, we can't afford not to have somebody do it. Because having Charles and I go out there and do it, it would take us, you know, 4 to 6 hours to do something that it takes somebody, you know, 2 hours to do. And you just can't do that as you kind of grow. And, you know, you have to focus more on working on the actual business rather than being a cog in the business. You want to think more strategically. And that's even something I struggle with today that I've been trying to, you know, work with Charlie on is, you know, hey, we got to think more strategically and not think, hey, how are we just going to get through the week?
Yeah, proactive, not reactive.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, we, you know, our method is to send a ton of direct mail out, see what comes back, negotiate the best deals, and then actually review the property. So Jill negotiates the deal before we actually look at the property, which is a little bit different than I think other niches, but we just don't have the time to look at every single property.
Yeah.
So that works out really, really well for us. We don't buy any property unless we can double, triple, and most of the time quadruple our money on it overnight. Mm-hmm. And whether, you know, and there's a bunch of other criteria that I talk about in our programs, but mm-hmm. you know, that's how many acquisitions we see across our desk all the time. So
it makes my job fun. I go look for comps, Mike, and if I can't find, I want to be able to start offering it for less than half of the least expensive I can find. So I really got to buy it right. And it's kind of fun for me. So I like that. I know that if I do it all wrong, I'll double my money tomorrow. Great.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome.
I love
it. That's a really nice head. That's really good.
I used to have a plaque on my desk, and I'm going to get one again that says, good acquisitions solve all problems.
Sure.
You know, if you're stuck with a property, it's because you didn't buy it right or something happened when you bought it, not when you're trying to sell it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I always say you make your money when you buy.
Right.
You make your money, you know, and, you know, and I always tell people you have a couple different strategies. Do you want to, you know, you want to hit the home run or hit those, the triple? Or do you want to hit a bunch of little singles? The little singles, you're going to do a lot more work. You're going to be constantly doing that. And, you know, if you're focusing on hitting a home run, you know, like you said, Joe, is it, you get a property, you quadruple your money. I mean, that deal right there just paid for, you know, a ton of other stuff that you could be doing. So that's the way to do it. That's definitely
exactly.
Wow.
It's fun.
All right. So last question for someone starting out, what's the first step?
I would say ideally, so Charles and I actually run a local real estate meetup group in Buffalo. And so I think one of the most important things to do is just get involved, take action. A lot of people get super, super excited and then they fizzle out. I probably talk to at least three to four people a week. They're just asking me, hey, I want you to help me. I want you to be my mentor. And I'm all for mentoring people. And I mentor some people now. The thing is I always tell them, like, you know, you gotta commit to this, and you can't always be, you know, ask good questions, but at the same time, do your research. You're going to grow much quicker by, you know, asking very good questions if somebody's been seasoned. So I think getting a good mentor and also being able to add value to that mentor, because sometimes, you know, a lot of people look at it and say, hey, I want to learn this. And, you know, I kind of look at it, and I'm not trying to be selfish at all. But the thing is, you know, I want to get something from it as well, from the standpoint that it feels good to help somebody who's in a place and they're trying to learn and they're trying to grow. But I want to focus on people that are actually going to take action, not just, you know, talk about, get super excited about it, and then never do anything.
Right.
Yeah. Joe, what do you think? What's the first step?
No, that's good advice. I agree with Mike. I think some of our most successful members in our Land Academy program are the ones that take some initiative and are going out there and saying, you know, they're trying some things on their own and they don't need us to hold their hand. We're kind of here just for a little guidance here and there, but for the most of it, they're running. You know, they needed the foundation, I guess. And I love it. And we can, and like you said, they bring some good quality discussions to our weekly calls. And I love it. And they're teaching. What's happening is they're teaching the other people. You know what I mean? I'm teaching. I'm helping them a little bit. They're guiding the people below them. And I'm like, this is awesome. I can just sit back and watch. You know, it's great.
We have a website called successplant.com. Yeah. And it's a tiny little bigger pockets for exactly what we do. And all the people that are members, they all talk to each other and they do deals with each other, and it's getting huge.
Wow.
So it really helps to have, I think, there's people in there that just started yesterday, and there's people in there that are doing pretty substantial transactions. Mm-hmm. So I just got an email from one of our members. Jill, are you looking at your email?
No, I'm not. I'm paying attention to this. Oh, thank you very much.
Somebody just sent her 7,800 acre multi-unit transaction that it's apparently incredibly inexpensive. And I'm going to put that in Success Plant. That's the only reason I bring it up.
Wow.
Just to use it as an example, because crazy stuff happens if you have the right attitude. I think you're exactly right.
Here's this good attitude. She wrote, they're all vacant, mostly desert, middle of nowhere, awesomeness.
Because that's her product type.
That's what she wrote. I think that's fantastic. That's it. That's it. And that, you know, it's funny with our thing, Mike. We joke about it, but everybody gets it now. They think, why do you want that way out there? Well, you know what? Here's what's funny. There's people out there that want that. So you may think it's crazy. We're quietly over here making a lot of money off of it. So, okay.
There are a lot of people that love that are done with, they're done with their, with society, and they just want to kind of like chuck it all and live out there and, you know, not have any bills and stuff. So it's, we don't have any trouble finding people to buy property at all.
Not at all.
Wow. That's awesome. It's definitely opened my eyes to something that, you know, I haven't considered. And that's why I think it's so amazing about real estate is there's so many different ways to be successful. It's just a matter of finding out what works for you and what you enjoy and being passionate about it. I think that's super important.
Right. All right. Where can we find you on the internet?
So you can find me at, of course you can find me on our website, www.cnmrental.com. I've done some writing out there as well on our website, and, you can find me, via email at cnmrentalpm@gmail.com. I'm all over the place.
Great. Mike Sherwood of the Buffalo area in New York, thank you so much for joining us. It was super informative.
Wait, yeah, can I thanks. Do my title?
Did oh, we right. Go? Yeah, I forgot. Forgot. Jill always titles the she titles the name of the episode at the end based on silly stuff that we all talk about.
So, awesome, go for it.
Well, you know what I like? What Mike said? He said, I like to go the opposite of the masses. That's what I... And I love that. I wrote that down. That makes so much sense. You guys are over here. I'm over here. Great. So, I love awesome. It.
Hey, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Jill. Thanks, Steven. I appreciate it.
Yet again, somebody else that's kind of figured out their own really unique little niche.
Isn't it? You know, I was thinking too, one of the cool things about all these podcasts that we've been doing and the guests that we've got to talk to, we're making friends all over the country. And, you know, I just love it. I love learning, like you said, their niche and different, getting to know different people. And this is really good. It's all good stuff. I think we got his head thinking about what we do, and it's kind of cool.
Yeah. You know, somebody asked me recently, why are you interviewing these people that, and why do you have a podcast where once in a while you interview somebody who's in a different part of real estate, or they buy houses and sell them? It doesn't have anything to what you do with what you guys really do. And I just think it's so important to keep an open mind and talk to these guys and see how they're approaching basically the same kind of stuff that we do. Plus, it's a good opportunity for us to talk about how easy our little niche is compared to renting a house out.
Exactly. So that's so funny. You know, it's funny. I was just thinking about, I don't know if you remember, we had a property, we've had a few with things on them, but one in particular, it was like a bunch of trash on it. Big deal, right? And people get hung up on that sometimes. Got some trash on it.
That never got to my desk. No, I don't. Oh, yeah. I actually don't know this story.
I think on the aerial, I see some tires on it. Oh, really? Like, we can't fix this? I'm thinking that's your issue? There's some tires?
If it's got tires on it, then you can get to it, which is good.
Exactly. And it was just funny because I'm thinking, we don't have, it's not like a hoarder lived there or somebody destroyed the, you know, whatever in the home. There's some tires on it. Big deal. Move on. You know, it's just funny what issues he has in his world. And you're right. It does make me feel really, I really appreciate our world and what we do.
Yeah. I'll tell you, about 22 or 30, maybe 35 times a year, I feel really fortunate about where we live in Scottsdale, in this part of the country. And I just had to call with somebody who's talking about frozen pipes again.
Right.
I can't imagine that.
No, you're right. We are really lucky. We don't have, the worst thing we have is our car batteries wear out more often because of the heat out here. That's nothing. You know, I mean, I can, and they're all under warranty anyway. You just go get a new battery. So
yeah, like when the motor on the convertible top of your Porsche doesn't work anymore because you use it so much, like that, Jill.
Yeah, like that. I gotta get that fixed. I guess you drive a convertible that the top that it's not a convertible. I'm like, yeah, I'm the only one. Thanks. I gotta get that fixed.
That's your biggest problem, isn't it, right now?
That is my biggest problem. Isn't that funny?
That's the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Well, that, and it actually rained this month. And so it looks all spotty right now. So that's my other issue. Other than that, I got nothing.
Someday I'll have your life.
You do have my life. What are you talking about?
I guess I do. You're right.
Yes, you do. Knock it off. I got to tell you, I am looking out right now over the water. I was just about to point it out to Aaron, but I didn't want to interrupt the call here. But Aaron, the water right now outside is so smooth. She's in her own little world. But can you see outside? It's like glass out there.
Yeah,
it's just gorgeous. So anyone listening to, well, for the two people who listen to our podcast.
You and I.
Yeah. So the water's gorgeous out there. It's just glassy and smooth and pretty, and boy, we're lucky.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. So
And it's Taco Tuesday. You want to go grab a taco?
I'd love to go grab a taco. Right. After I buy a little more real estate. What do you think?
Yeah, let's go buy some real estate.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com.
If you want to get involved or you need more information about our profitable, niche real estate operation, call 480-467-0359. You just might get Jill at the other end of the line.
LandAcademy.com. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.